The text this morning is from Luke chapter 15, and I'll begin reading at verse 11. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all there, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have been filled with his stomach, which the pods with the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." I want to welcome everyone again for being here this morning. It's good to see everyone out. I appreciate David leading the song that he did before this lesson. This lesson is, "Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming home, Lord." And I am trying a lesson like I did several weeks ago with a slideshow. So hopefully everything will start as it is supposed to. And we won't have any glitches like last week. But I want to use Luke 15 for the picture, the mental picture you take home with you. But the story is about all of us. So the slides will be going along here, and then I will be delivering, "Lord, I'm coming home." The old gospel song, "Lord, I'm coming home," says, "I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home." Friends, some people don't place the proper emphasis on coming to their senses, on going home to heaven, on going home to the Father, and they just don't understand what heaven is all about. The teacher asked the Bible class one Sunday morning, "Do you want to go to heaven?" And everybody raised their hand except one boy. And she said, "Tommy, don't you want to go to heaven?" And Tommy said, "Well, yes, teacher, but my mother told me to come home right after Bible school." See, people have a different understanding about heaven. There are some people that cannot go to heaven. It's not because God does not want them to go there, because God sent his only begotten son that all could go there. They cannot go there because of their own sin. Their sin has separated them from God, and nobody will go to heaven by accident. We read about that and we understand that from the Bible. The Bible, the book from God, the book about God, the book about the relationship that God wants to have with us. It's the story of the salvation of man that comes through Christ to bring honor and glory to God. Jesus wants us to love him, to submit to him as our Lord, to keep his commandments, to walk in his ways, to cling to him, to serve him, with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. And God is a jealous God, and God will not accept our scraps or leftovers. We've all wandered away from God at times. At first, we don't intend to go far. We think, I'll just go a little ways. I'll just take one step. And then we take another step and another step. And before we know it, we're down the road. We're down the road that we shouldn't even have been on in the first place. But we tell ourselves, we know there's a way back home. It's not far. We can come back anytime we want to. It's no problem. But then evil thoughts come in and take over our mind. And they take us to places we should not go. And instead of fleeing the temptation, oftentimes we give in to it. We give in to sin's allurement. The song says, I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I think, you know, as I said, this story is about all of us. And we've all done different things. And even if we haven't transgressed and done bad things, if we fail to do right things, we've wasted a lot of time. We've wasted time. And we live in danger when we live away from God. We all have this problem of going into a far country. Maybe somebody here is still in a far country. And when we talk about going into a far country, understand, this man left home and he traveled to a far country. Friends, we don't have to leave New Lebanon. We don't have to leave Ohio. We don't have to leave the United States to go into a far country. When we go away from God, when we take our mind off of God, we go into a far country. We go into a far country that's a dark country. It's a dangerous country. And we expose our soul to Satan. We've all been there. The Apostle John warns in 1 John 1:6 and also in verse 10 of the self-righteous disregard of sin. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So it's just a given fact. We've all sinned. No one here is better than anybody else. No one here is worse than anybody else. Wandering in sin is wandering far away from God. And to believe the devil's lie that there is no way back, no way back to right living, no way back to forgiveness, no way back to the way that God wants and place for you to be. So when we think about Satan, Satan has three main goals for everybody that's ever lived. Three main goals. First, he wants to keep you away from God. He wants to keep you out of the church. He wants to keep you out of the church. If he is not successful at that, and you become a Christian, as soon as you become a Christian, he's going to try to get you to go back into the world. He's going to do everything he can to get you back into the world. And if he can't get you back into the world, then he's going to try to get you to be a lukewarm Christian. He's always after us. We've got to understand that. Jesus is the way home. We don't have to stay in that wasteland. We don't have to stay in that far country. If we want to go home, Jesus is the way. He's the only way. That's who we have forgiveness through. For Christians, the way home is the way of repentance and confessing our sins to God, those you sin against. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. The song says, I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home. Have you ever talked to people that are tired of sin and strain? People that aren't even members of the church. They're out there in the world, and they're just tired of it. They're tired of it. They're chasing something where there is no fulfillment. We should understand, and we should not tell people that sin is not pleasurable. Sin is pleasurable. If we tell them sin is not pleasurable, they're going to think we're going to lie to them about other things also. Sin is pleasurable, but it's the passing pleasure of sin. It's for a short time. And we've got to understand, do we want to sell our eternity for the passing pleasure of sin here? And one of one of the things about sin does not satisfy us. That's why when someone does something, they do it, and then they'll do something bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. They need a bigger fix. They need more excitement. They do something bigger. And they go farther and farther away from God. My soul is sick. My heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renew, my home restore. Lord, I'm coming home. My only hope, my only plea. Now I'm coming home. That Jesus died and died for me. Lord, I'm coming home. We go back to the Old Testament and read the Psalms of David. How when he knew that he had sinned, that his bones ached, he was sick. Sin will affect us physically. That's the nature of it. It will make us sick. It will make our heart sore. And we see people living in sin, and they're looking for the answer out of it, and it's right there in front of them. But Satan keeps whispering in their ear, tomorrow, you've got plenty of time. If you're living in sin and separated from God, you need to repent and come home to the Father. And when you come home, how is God going to treat you? When you repent? Well, in chapter 15, the verse before, or a couple verses before the lost son, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Whenever someone turns from sin, there is great joy. There is no shaming. There is great joy. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents. If you're not a Christian, you need to come home. The way home is the way of faith, the way of obedience. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, Romans 10:9. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. And friends, you cannot go home to heaven if you do not do this, if you do not become part of the Lord's family. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, people love to go to John chapter 3 for verse 16, but you read it the first part of John chapter 3, and Jesus tells Nicodemus three times, you must be born again. You must be born again. You cannot enter the kingdom unless you are born again. We have to be in the family to be saved. And being a part of the family of God means more than just showing up for a few minutes on Sunday morning. It means opening our heart to God, opening our heart to people who make up the body, sharing our life with one another as brothers and sisters, as fathers and mothers. We've got to be redeemed from our sins. What is that redemption? It's a releasing. that releasing, it's a payment of a ransom. It's deliverance. It's the liberation from bondage. So when we talk about redemption, that's a salvation term. And you think about Satan or sin captivating us, those sparkly little things out there, sin captivates us. Then Satan captures us. Then we're a slave. We're in bondage to Satan. And then Christ comes along to buy us out of that bondage, to buy our freedom. And what's the price that he pays to buy us out? It's his blood. It is his blood. That's where redemption is in his blood. It's in Christ. Romans 3:24. It's through his blood. Ephesians 1:7. We're baptized into his death. We're baptized into the benefits of his death, the shedding of his blood. Romans 6:3. That ransom price, the blood of Christ, is then applied. Acts 22:16. Sadly, some people think that if you're baptized, you're on your way to heaven and that's it. That's all you have to do. No, friends, that just gets us into the family of God. We're told that we must live by faith. We know from our study in Romans that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But faith isn't just a mental assent. Faith is action. Faith without works is dead. But we must have faith. We must do the will of the Father, Matthew 7:21. There's a lot of people in Matthew chapter 7 that thought that they were doing the will of the Father and they thought that they were going to heaven. And Jesus said, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity, you that work lawlessness," because those things that they were doing, they had no authority for doing those things. Our objective in life should be to do God's will, number one. That's it. We can get any career. We can get a career, change careers, get another career. We can do so many things. We change. We can get a house. We can get a different house. We can live here. We can live there. There are so many things we can change and do. But our number one objective in life is to do God's will. Anywhere, everywhere, all the time. And the Bible talks about striving to enter heaven. That means diligently, with great effort. And that's why I was saying when we were reading in Romans chapter 12 this morning, talking about diligence, there is no such thing as a lazy Christian. If we are a Christian, we are a soldier of the cross. We are in the Lord's army. We're a worker in the vineyard. And there are things to do. Back to Matthew 7, there are people entering that straight gate and that broad gate. That straight gate means it's narrow. It's confined. It restricts. It's not, that straight gate is not going to let everybody in. There's a gate that will let everybody in. That gate that lets everybody in is that gate that leads to hell. And there are many that are going there. We must pursue entrance in. Again, it's not going to happen by accident. God wants us to walk with purpose in our life. Not the purpose of the world, satisfying the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. And how many times have you been around people Monday morning at work, they would brag about everything they did over the weekend, and by Wednesday they start talking about, "I can't wait till the weekend, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to go here and go there," and most of those things involve sin that they were planning on talking about it. That's not the life that God wants us to pursue. God wants us to walk with the purpose of glorifying God, because we are his children. And again, the righteous are saved with difficulty, that strenuous effort. 1 Peter 4:17-18, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? You aren't going to hear that preached in many churches this morning. You aren't going to hear it preached in the denominations if the righteous one is scarcely saved, because Satan has sold the lie that all you have to do is believe, only have faith, expect a miracle, and you're going to heaven. That's a lie that so many people have swallowed. So when we become a Christian, we've got to remove the obstacles in our life that are going to prevent us from going home. In Hebrews chapter 12, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When you think about this prodigal son, and he had it so well, and he didn't realize how well he had it, but Satan planted that seed in his head. There's something better for you out there. Your father doesn't know what's best for you. Go out, live it up, and with the where he wasted his money on harlots, on the drinking, he went out and he got a job with pigs, with swine, which a Jew, to them, that was an unclean animal. You couldn't sink any lower than that. And he would have gladly eaten the pods that were given to the pigs, but no one would give him anything. No one would give him anything. Friends, we need to avoid that. One of the things we need to do is set heaven as our goal and strive for heaven and live for heavenly things. Paul wrote in Colossians 3, verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. God's plan for us has always been to have a rich, abundant life with blessings overflowing in our life. Lives filled with wonder and joy and confidence and peace. But what do? We want all of that, and we say, but I'm going to get that myself. I'm going to do it without God. And friends, when we try to do life without God, we're going to end up living in the pig pen. We're going to live far away from home. The song says, I need his cleansing blood, I know. Now I'm coming home. Oh, wash me whiter than the snow. Lord, I'm coming home. We've all been there. Sin has brought us pain, sorrow, regret, spiritual death. Friends, it's time to come home to God. God is the only one that can truly give us rest. And when we die in Christ, it's going to be a glorious and blessed occasion. Revelation 14, 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Friends, we are here for such a short time. You think back years, and it seems like a matter of seconds. You think of your friends, you think of your family. Well, they aren't here, they're gone. They died. They're gone. And before we know it, people are going to be saying that about us. Life is a vapor. It's just a short time. But Satan has sold us the lie that we are God. That was the problem the Israelites had. They worshiped those rocks and stones and trees. They worshiped basically themselves. They wanted to do what they did what they wanted to do. They didn't put God first. Friends, can you say you're coming home when you die? Can you say you're going home? You're going to heaven? You can say that. The question is, are you going to heaven? You've got to have a strong relationship with God. You must draw near to God. You must be obedient to God. Why not step out in obedience now? If we can assist anyone, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.